that talking about you know, the two camps, and it's mentioned in the, somewhere in the book of Song of Songs. Maybe somebody could look that up for me, what verse it is, where it says two camps in Song of Songs. But what it's talking about, it says in verse 7 of chapter 32, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. For he said, if Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. So Jacob was terrified of Esau. And why, you know, you don't have to answer this. This is a rhetorical question. Why was Jacob afraid of Esau after 20 years of serving Laban? Jacob was terrified. He had to go through from Babylon, through the land of Edom, which today is I don't know, either considered Jordan or maybe part of Moab, I guess, probably Jordan would be Edom. So he had to go through, pass through Jordan, what we would call Jordan. Hang on, Buzz. You have to pass through Jordan to get to get into the promised land. So he had to go through the land of his brother Esau, where Esau lived. He had to meet him, and he was terrified. He was so terrified. And it says here that in verse 7 of chapter 32, that Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds into two companies. For he said, if Esau comes, the one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and O God of our father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. And deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother. So he came with a staff. That's all he had with him when he came. And he left with two companies of people. Two, I guess, what's a company in the military? How many people is a company? 100? Somebody knows. A company in the military, anybody? Okay, it's a lot. Anyway, it's much more than a staff. 600? 600? Okay, so we can look that up, but you know, we'll say for the sake of you know, it's a lot of people. Thank you. So you know, he had a lot of people, and maybe somebody could look up how many companies in the military, how many people in a company, and because so we can understand just how many people he had with him. Hallelujah. So here's a guy who's 20 years ago left home with a staff in hand. Everybody say with a staff in hand. And he multiplied that staff into two companies of people, huge flocks of sheep and goats and camels and cattle. Yes. 80 to 150 soldiers. So he basically had between roughly 200 to 300 people with him, and his family and his shepherds and his flocks. He was multiplied exceedingly. In 20 years, he became a wealthy man. Amen? I mean, if you have 20 people in your family, and the other 200, the other 180 or 280 are shepherds, you're doing pretty good. Can you think of a farm around here with 280 shepherds? I can't. I don't know if there is one. All right, so, but he's afraid. He was afraid of his brother. Why? Because he stole his brother's blessing. And back in a previous chapter, in chapter 31, Isaac wanted to bless. His son Esau, but God wanted Jacob to have the blessing. God wanted Jacob to have the blessing. And so I was talking with someone last night about this, was Jacob wrong in dressing up like Esau, cooking his father a delicious meal, and taking the blessing? His father had poor sight, poor eyesight. Was Jacob wrong in doing it? Well, and what he did by taking the blessing before his brother could get it. Well, not if God wanted him to have it. Okay? If God wanted Jacob to have the blessing and Isaac was doing the wrong thing and giving it to the wrong guy, you know, sometimes we do things and we don't pray. Hello? Sometimes we make decisions and we don't pray, and then we kick ourselves maybe a day later, maybe a week, maybe a year later. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I'd prayed. Amen? And so Isaac obviously didn't pray because he loved Esau better than Jacob. But God says, I believe in Malachi, he says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. God hated Esau and he loved Jacob, but Isaac, the father of the boys, loved Esau. And make it for two, please. And he loved Jacob. He loved Esau, but he didn't love Jacob as much. So he was at odds with God. He was at odds with God. So when you're at odds with God, who's going to win? God. And so it's no sin to take what belongs to you rightfully. Everybody say, it's no sin to take what belongs to you rightfully if somebody has not heard from God and intervened. You know, this is holy boldness. You know, I've struggled with this chapter for years, thinking that Jacob was a real schnook. I mean, a shyster. A real no good Nick, a bum, you know. But Jacob wasn't the one who really did it. It was his mother who said, "You go get the blessing. I'll dress you up. I'll make the meal. Your father's going to bless your son. Hurry up. You go in there and you ask him." He said, "But mother, I'm not Esau. How can I do this?" He said, "Just trust me on this." She knew. She's a praying mama, right? Is Rebecca one of the patriarchs? Amen. She was Isaac's wife, right? Is she one of the matriarchs of the tribes of Israel? The wife of the son of promise, the child of promise, the wife of Isaac. Glory to God. Amen. And so she knew, praying mama, that Jacob was the one to get that blessing, as God had foretold when they were born, that the older would serve the younger. And Esau was the older one. He came out first, and that he would serve the younger, and that blessing was going to Jacob. Why was Jacob so afraid to see his brother? Well, when we... Well, first of all, the Bible tells us his brother wanted to kill him. His brother wanted to kill him. And so his father said, he was sending him away for a few days till his brother's anger subsided. That few days turned into 20 years. Okay? And anyway, Jacob went away for 20 years, but Jacob, he had, he may have had a guilty conscience, but he also knew that his brother wanted to kill him. And if you know somebody wants to kill you, okay, let's say there's a guy up the street six houses down and he wants to kill you. He knows your name, he knows you're in here. Are you going to be scared? Are you going to be nervous? I'll tell you just a quick story. One day I was driving in Bristol, and some guy, I accidentally cut somebody off. I was taking a left turn, and there were two lanes, and I accidentally cut a car off, didn't see him, and I got in the lane ahead of him or something. The guy went nuts, and there were several people in the car, started speeding up around me, coming in front of me, coming to the side of me, I had some friends with me. I had Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson were with me, but even with that, I felt fear rise up in me. This person was hostile to me, and I didn't know what to do. So I drove toward my house, which was a bad move. If you're ever being chased, drive to the police station. Don't go to your house. But I didn't know that at the time. So I'm telling you, if you're ever being chased by somebody in a car, and you want safety, go to the police station. That's happened to me again, and I did go to the police station, and they drove off. Good. Just by me pulling into the police station, parking lot. Okay. So this person was chasing me. I'm driving toward my house, and I quickly zoomed down. I sped away from them. I quickly zoomed down a side street. We have these back roads behind houses, these little alleyways. And I backed into an alleyway. I'm getting a buzz through this monitor. I'm sorry. I backed into an alleyway. It stopped. The guy drove on, but I banged up my car nice and good. You know, I banged up, I hit a telephone pole, scraped it. But the guy was chasing me. I felt like my spirit was saying, you're in for a fight. If you stop, you're in for a fight. One thing I've learned, I like to go to the shooting range, and I'm trained in shooting. I'm trained in tactical shooting by military, by Marines. I've been trained in how to shoot tactically. One thing I was trained in learning how to use weapons is don't avoid a fight. One of the first things they teach you when you start getting guns is not to use them. Do everything you can to avoid a conflict. Back in the old days, when somebody, a girl next door would come over and say, I think there's somebody in my house, I'd grab a baseball bat and go in the house. Today, I'm not going to go in the house, even though I may have something much more powerful than a baseball bat. I'm going to call the police and wait. That's what you do. And you don't look for a fight. You hear somebody in your house and you can get out the window? Get out the window and call the police. Don't sit there and wait for them to come down the hall and have to deal with it. Get out of the house. Somebody on Facebook that I know was dealing with that right in this town, Bristol, was being broken into around 9 o'clock last night, and the police arrived. Thank God they're believers. They had a gun out, ready to deal with whoever was breaking into their house, and the police arrested one of the two perpetrators. And they never actually got in, but the husband had a gun out, and he was ready to. But I don't know what the situation was. Could they have gotten out without having to face them? The intruders. Anyway, this guy Jacob feared for his life, and sometimes we're in that position. And you don't have to be in sin or guilty, Ray. You don't have to be in sin or feel guilty to feel in fear for your life. Anybody can, some nut job can come after you with a hatchet, with a car, and put you in fear, and you don't know. You can be the toughest guy. Remember Peter in the Bible? Remember how tough Peter was? And then he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll be there with you through whatever. I'm with you, buddy. He cut that guy's ear off with the sword. He was all rugged, tough the night before, the Lord was crucified, cut the guy's ear off. He was ready to fight. But then when they arrested the Lord and Peter was, and then some, the little servant girl said, aren't you one of those guys from Galilee? All of a sudden, terror rose up in Peter. And what had he done? Had he, you know, what had he done except be a follower of Yeshua to be so fearful? But he was terrified. He ran. He ran away crying. So it can happen to anybody. It happens on the battlefield. Some guys are brawny, tough guys, and they go out there and they just fall apart on the battlefield. And other guys are scrawny, weak, you know, not exactly what you'd call tough guys, and they'll get a gun and they'll knock down 200 people, you know, and you just don't know when you get out on the battlefield who's going to be, you know, the David. Who's going to slay the Goliath? You really don't know until you're tested, do you? Praise God. Why did Jacob wrestle? Jacob was wrestling the night before. He had an encounter in verse 24 of chapter 32. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." So he went from being one who strives or one who wrestles to be a prince of God. That's what his name changed from one who wrestles or strives to be a prince of God. So God made him a prince among men, among, you know, prince of God. He changed his name. And how